We're going to take two readings tonight. The first reading is in Numbers chapter 21. The book of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. And we're going to read verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now one final reading in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, the Lord Jesus is speaking to an old man by the name of Nicodemus, and in verse number 14 he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that's all I'm going to read tonight. And I do trust God will give me help to present this little passage to you tonight that we have read from Numbers chapter 21. What do you preach at the end of a Pugwash conference? You know, oftentimes when I preach, I try to find something that's relatable. For example, on April 10th, there was the Artemis II space shuttle that was just returning from making its journey around the moon. It took off on April 1st, circumnavigated Earth, went up and circumnavigated the moon, and then came back down, and on April 10th, it landed back here on planet Earth. On April 10th, it was a Friday evening. I was preaching the gospel in Sussex, and I took that story and I just drew a parallel between that journey and the journey that men and women are on their journey through life. Mr. Robert Plant, he spent a lot of time in Sussex. And as Robert Plant, a bit of a historian himself, when April 15th came along, he couldn't hold himself back, but he preached on the night that the Titanic sunk. 2 a.m. on April 15th, the Titanic goes down. And he used that story just to present to them the truth and the reality of men and women on a journey through life, not knowing when life's going to end. And I sat here yesterday morning, and I thought to myself, what do you speak on in Pugwash at the end of the conference? We went to bed last night, and the girls are scratching, and they're itching, and they're counting. What are they counting? They're counting the bites. I want to preach on a bite tonight. I wonder if there's anyone here in the meeting tonight that hasn't been bitten. I think all of us can count up, and we can all add up the mosquito bites and the horsefly bites and the blackfly bites. We've all been bitten by different kind of bugs this weekend. They're uncomfortable, and they itch, and they scratch, and they bother us. It's hard to sleep at night, and they always seem just to bite in just the wrong spot. But what I'm here tonight to preach on is not the bite of a bug, but the bite of the serpent. It's the bite of sin. You know, here's a group of people, and they're making their way. They've left Egypt. They're making their way to the promised land. They're making their way to Canaan, and along the way, God has met their every need. Yes, they were thirsty, but they never got dehydrated. Yes, they were hungry, but they never starved. Every morning they wake up, and the blessings from God would come down from heaven. They'd step outside their tents, and there they would harvest in all the blessings of God, and they accepted all the privileges that God had given them. But they became discontent. They became unhappy. And before long, they're speaking out against the God of heaven. And they're speaking out against a man named Moses. Now, I want you to notice something. It says that they spoke out against two people. They spoke against the God of heaven. And they spoke against Moses. Do you know what the people identified they had done? They identified that they had sinned against God. When they spoke against God and when they spoke against Moses. I learned a very, very valuable lesson in that little story. In that little segment, in that little truth, and the truth of the matter is this. There might be young children and you say to yourself, I have never sworn against God. But if you've disobeyed your parents, you've sinned against God. There might be men here and you say, listen, I'm an incredibly good co-worker. I'm a good man in my community. But I want to tell you this, my friend. If you ever had a time in your life when you cursed God, that's sin against God. You see, God established a law for all of mankind. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not this, that, and the other thing. And I want to tell you this. According to the Word of God, absolutely every man and every woman has sinned. These people, they come, and do you know what they say? They say, I have sinned. I know for a fact there's people here in this gospel meeting that want to be saved tonight. Because I've sat down with you. I've interacted with you. I've bought you ice cream. And as I sat with you, I asked you the question, do you want to be saved? And you say, yeah, Joe, I want to be saved. What would you like to be saved from? What would you like to be saved from? You see, when it comes to these people, you know what they wanted to be saved from? They wanted to be saved from the snakes. And they asked God to take away the snakes. They look and they see the snake and they say, that's the problem. The problem is the snakes. And God says, no, the problem is that you're bitten. You're bitten. You're bitten. Do you know the problem with being bitten? The problem with being bitten is this. Because they were bitten, they were going to die. Because they were bitten, they were going to die. And very simply at the outset of this meeting, I want to speak about the bitten subject. Not all the people were bitten in this case. But here in the audience tonight, God says, all have sinned. And as I look at this audience tonight, I just compare you to the people in this story. And when it comes to the bite very simply was this. It's the penalty for sin. Because they had sinned, God sent in the snakes. Because they had sinned, they experienced the bite. The sin and the penalty, they go hand in hand. And God says now with you, all have sinned. Do you know what that means? That means that every boy in this gospel meeting tonight, you're going to have to bear the penalty for your sin. Every man in this gospel meeting tonight, you're going to have to bear the penalty of your sin. But here's what I want you to notice when it comes to the experience of the bite. These people are living their lives, and they're committing sin against God. And as they do so, without any announcements, it came unannounced. Without it ever being expected, they never expected it. Without any desire, it came unwanted. And what was it? It was a serpent. It was a penalty for sin. They never saw it coming. But what they could not say was that they never deserved it. Do you know the wonderful thing about the gospel? It's this. The Lord Jesus, he says in Mark's gospel, chapter 16, verse number 55, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And I am here tonight to tell you, my friend, that because you have sinned, there's a penalty for sin. And it's beautifully depicted on the chart here tonight, just very simply, the Word of God put into art form to show you that every man and every woman is born on a Broadway, leading down to destruction. And in the bottom of that chart, there's that big, large, dark spot identified as hell. That's the punishment for sin. That's the penalty for sin. And as we come here tonight, we are here to warn you that because of your sin, there's a penalty. And according to the Word of God, it says this, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It was the same for them as it is for you tonight. Because of your sin, sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. But the next thing I want you to notice about the bite, not only was it experienced, but there was evidence of it. It was Thursday night in Amherst. A young lady came into the tent. And I looked at that girl and I said to myself, hard drugs. You know what I saw? The evidence of sin. But that's not the only evidence. I look across this meeting tonight and there's some men here with not very much hair. You know what it is? The evidence of sin. There's women here with graying hair. It's the evidence of sin. But you know, I watch young children and how they interact and how they rise up against their siblings. You know what it is? It's the evidence of sin. You watch the look in the eye and how they behave and how they just squint their eyes and glare. What it's the evidence of sin. And I just challenge all of you here tonight. Would there be anyone here that would dare to say that I have no sin? Because if there's someone here tonight that would put up their hand and say, I have no sin, then I put up my hands and say, I have no message. Because what we're preaching tonight is a message from the Lord Jesus. And it's a message for you if you're a sinner. Because the Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God's message of salvation is repentance through faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. Sin and the bite. You know what the remarkable thing was this? As those serpents came into the camp that day, and as those men and as those women and children were all bitten by the serpents, the moment came in the lives of particular individuals when the mark of that bite was completely eliminated from them. It was gone. How does that happen? How was it possible for those people that were once bitten by a serpent and dying because of the bite? How could it be in an instantaneous moment that those people went from perishing to being healthy, from dying to living? How could that be possible? Do you want to know what it is in a nutshell? It's this. They were obedient to the word of God. The Lord told Moses, take a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. Whosoever looks on it shall live. And they were obedient to the word of God. Here you are in the gospel meeting tonight, and I've already told you at the commencement. And no, maybe I don't start into my messages so quickly, but I've already told you at the commencement of this meeting, because of your sin, you're facing eternal judgment. You're going to die in your sins, and you're going to go to hell. What you need to remove tonight is the bite of sin. You need the penalty of sin removed. You need to be saved from the condition of being a sinner. You need to be rescued from that. How is that possible? How can it actually happen? The Lord Jesus told us. This is what he said. John chapter 5, verse number 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Would you like to have life tonight? You know what you need to do? You need to be obedient to the word of God. The Lord Jesus says, believe on the Lord. The preacher said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You can have all the side effects of sin, as it were, if I can say it like that, removed tonight. But it can only happen if you have your sins taken away. And the only way that your sins can be taken away is if you trust in the Lord Jesus, the bitten subject. You know, the next thing I want you to know, so just for a minute, is this. It's the brass serpent. The brass serpent is what was prescribed for sin. I just want you to get the picture here. There's a group of people, well over 1 million people. They're making their way from Egypt to Canaan. They've sinned against God. And the serpents come in, the snakes come in, and they start to bite the people. And the people are perishing. God comes to Moses and tells Moses, Moses, make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Do you know what the last thing those people wanted? Was another snake. But that's exactly what God gave them. What God gave them, it wasn't wanted. They didn't want the serpent. Did you notice what the people actually asked for? The people come in and they say to Moses, Moses, listen, we've sinned against God and we have a solution how the problem of our sin can be dealt with. What you need to do is you need to go to God and you need to pray to God and you need to tell God to please remove the snakes. That was their solution for sin, but it wasn't God's plan. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, and they come to the realization that, yes, I have sinned against God, and there's a problem with this relationship. I don't have peace with God. So peace with God is something that I need to come up with an idea how I am going to have peace with God, and here's how I'm going to do it. You see, the way that they were going to do it was very logical. All you had to do was call the exterminator. All you had to do was buy a little bit of poison at the hardware store. You see, their way of saving themselves was very logical. It just made sense in their own mind. It was almost mathematical. If you remove the snakes, our problem is gone. You know, when I think of the world at large today, I think to myself, that's what men and women are doing all over the place. They're just coming up with their own ideas. And they're coming to God and say, God, we have a solution for how we're going to deal with the problem of our sin. You see, God, we've done all these things that are bad, and we've sinned against thee. We've done things that are wrong, and yes, we know you're a righteous God, and you're a God that hates sin. You're a God that we know sin can't enter into heaven. So what we would like to do is we'd like to do a bit of an offset program. And we're going to do some good things to offset the bad things. Surely, God, you can do some kind of a mathematical calculation here. I've done 500 bad things, so I'm going to do 500 good things. And God, I'm going to present to you this way and this theory of how I can be saved. But the problem is this. The punishment came from God. And the prescription came from God as well. You see, here's the deal, my friend. When it comes to your sin, the problem you are dealing with tonight is your sin against God. So because your sin is against God, God has every right to say how your sin can be removed. But we like to tell God how we're going to do it. You say, Joe, I would never do that. I would never tell God. I would never tell God how my sins are going to be removed. Yes, you have. If you're here in this gospel meeting tonight, and I think probably 99% of you have been in a gospel meeting before, up to this point in time, you've been telling God how you're going to get saved. And you know how you've been telling him? Just not tonight. I'm going to get saved in the future. But God says, no, no, no. Salvation is available right here tonight. I want to just tell you very clearly tonight when it comes to this man, these men, and these women. The serpent that bit these people, every single one of them, they were dying. Do you know you're dying in your sins tonight? You know, sometimes we think we're just living in our sins. My dad used to say when it came to diabetes, if you're taking the pill, you're living with diabetes. If you have insulin, now you're dying with diabetes. Well, I want to tell you, when it comes to sin, every one of you are dying. Matter of fact, the Bible actually goes a step further than that. And it doesn't just say you're dying in your sins, but it says you're dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you know the remarkable thing about being dead? A person that's dead can do absolutely nothing to resuscitate themselves. A person that's dead can do nothing to give themselves life. But I am here to preach to you to tell you that there's one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to give you life. So the first thing about the serpent of brass is unwanted. But you know, the next thing I want you to notice when it comes to it is this. Not only was it wasn't wanted, but it wasn't venomous. Did you notice that? It was a serpent that was similar, but it was a serpent that was different. It was a serpent that didn't slither on the ground, but it was lifted on a pole. It was a serpent that was completely unique, but it wasn't wanted. I wonder if there's anyone here that can start to put the pieces of the puzzle together now. Can you think of anyone that was given that wasn't wanted? Anyone that was given that was similar but was different? Anyone that never had the venom or sin is unique. You see, that's why we're here to preach tonight. I want to get you to the man that's like you, but he's different. There's something internally completely different about. Yes, from the outside he looked just the same, but internally he was completely different because he wasn't venomous. You know, if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, in verse number 3, this is what it says. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. He's not wanted. But then you come to the New Testament and you're going to find not only was he not wanted, but there's something different on the inside with him. And there's three men and they document it. One man says, it was John, he says, in him is no sin. Another man, I believe it's Peter, he says he knew no sin. And then the man named Paul, he says he did no sin. You see, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he was a man and he looks just like you and I, but he was totally unique. You know, you come to John chapter 1 and verse number 1 and it says this, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. And it's speaking about this Word. And then you jump down to verse number 14 and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Do you see how all these pieces now, they're starting to get fit together? There's a man and he's not wanted. There's a man and he's not venomous. He's not sinful. And he's unique, and he's not just unique because of how he looks, because he looks the same. But he's absolutely unique because where he came from, the Word was with God. You see, God came in and he gave the instruction to Moses to make a serpent of brass. But I'd like to tell you tonight, that's not the only instruction God gave. My Bible tells me this, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And what we are preaching tonight is not just a serpent of brass. I have nothing on a pole here tonight. I have nothing to present to you here tonight that we have made or that we're putting together. But what I am here to present to you tonight is the person of the Lord Jesus, God's only Son. And if I can just make it abundantly clear from the very get-go of this meeting, just to present to you the person of the Lord Jesus, that God looked down at you and he saw you with the problem of your sin. He saw you that everyone has been bitten by sin, and he saw the end result of the penalty and the penalty that you're going to bear. Because of your sin, you're going to be in hell forever. Because of your sin, there's going to be a separation from God. Because of your sin, you are dead in trespasses and in sin. Because of your sin, there's that great span that has been made between us and God. It's all because of your sin. But God did not have the ability just to send in a snake to save you from your sin. But what he had to do was he had to send his son. And the God of heaven, he sent his son into the world. And he wasn't wanted. Nobody wanted him. Despised and rejected of men. But he came in absolutely perfect. Absolutely sinless. An absolute personification of the God of heaven himself. And as he came in, absolutely sinless. Do you know what my Bible tells me happened to him? According to John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse number 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was the serpent in the wilderness put on a pole? He was put on a pole because of the sins that that nation committed. Why was the Lord Jesus hung on a cross? Because of your sin. Because of your sin. You say, Joe, why does it matter that he was sinless? The reason that it matters that he was sinless was this. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want to tread carefully here tonight, but I want you to get the point. Did you know that the Lord Jesus couldn't be killed? Did you know the Lord Jesus' life couldn't be taken? Did you know that the Lord Jesus was invincible? It might be a little bit of a modern term, and I don't want to say this irreverently, but did you know that the Lord Jesus was bulletproof? According to the Word of God, he's immortal. He cannot die. His life cannot be taken from him. Why? Because he did no sin. Say, Joe, what's this matter? Why are you bringing this out? Because you see, when it comes to you and I, because of our sin, we're going to die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God sent his Son from heaven, one that was absolutely sinless, and he sent him to the cross. And there the Lord Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, and men treated him absolutely horribly. They abused him and they made him suffer. And then God clothed the sky in darkness and he punished his son for our sin. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says this, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And at the end of those 3 hours of darkness, you know what happened? A man that had no sin, a man whose life could not be taken from him, the man that hung on Calvary's cross, he lifts up his eyes to heaven. He cries, "It is finished." And he bows his head and he lays down his life. He gave up the ghost. What did he do? He voluntarily paid the price for your sin. Because of your sin and the desperate need that you had, with a penalty that you'd pay for all of eternity, God's only Son stepped in. He dies on the cross, a sinless man. What did he do? He became your substitute when he paid the price at Calvary. That's what we are preaching tonight, is that you need to put your faith in a man that was absolutely sinless, that went to the cross of Calvary, the one that was able to say, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it again. And he went to Calvary's cross. He lays down his life. He pays the price for sin. He dies for you, the sinner. And now we're coming to you tonight, and you know what we're doing? We're picking up the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And he says this to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We're preaching to you tonight to look to the man of Calvary. The only hope you ever have of being in heaven is through the person of the Lord Jesus. The brass serpent, it wasn't wanted. The brass serpent, it wasn't venomous. But I find it amazing that when it comes to the brass serpent, it wasn't hidden either. God told Moses, take that brass serpent. He says, you put it on upon a pole. He says, you make sure absolutely everybody can see it, because I want them all to know there's salvation available for the penalty of sin. We are here tonight picking up the words of the Lord Jesus. One of my favorite verses, I've just come to love it lately. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, sometimes I think to myself, maybe I need to reinvent the wheel a little bit. And people aren't getting saved, maybe we need to tweak the method a little bit. But I just take the words of Christ. He says, go and preach. Why? Because he wants you to know. He wants every boy and girl, girls along this side over here, can I get your attention for a second? What you need is Christ. Down through the center rows, right in their front here, girls, what you need Christ. Over on this side, if there's someone tonight and you're not saved, can I point you to the man of Calvary? What you need is Christ. The bitten subject. The brass serpent. But let me finish on the better Savior. You know those people there, as they were in the camp, they looked to that brass serpent, and sure enough, every one of them that looked, they lived because they're obedient to the Word of God. You just be obedient to the Word of God tonight, and you'll be saved. But they, in that camp, they looked to that, and oh, they're raving about the serpent. And they're raving about all the work that the serpent has done, and so forth, and so far, so on and so forth. But I'd like to tell you tonight, when it comes to the brass serpent, the reason that brass serpent was lifted on a pole was to save them from a bite. I want to tell you, when we come and we preach the Lord Jesus, he came for a far better reason. My Bible tells me that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? For a better reason, to save sinners. He came for a better, he's not just here to save you from a bite. He's here to save you from your sins. He came with a better reason. But the next thing I want you to notice is this. He comes with a better reach. You know, when it came to people in the next community over, surely there were snakes in the next community. And in the next community over, the snakes, they were slithering. And they'd bite a person. But they didn't know anything about the serpent that was in the Israelite camp. But I am here tonight telling you, when it comes to this message, when it comes to the reach of the gospel, I can preach it in Amherst, I can preach it in Pugwash, I can preach it in Sussex, men are preaching it in South America, men are preaching it in the Middle East, men are preaching it in Russia, men are preaching it in Australia, all across this globe. Why? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there someone in this gospel meeting tonight? Let me tell you, the Lord's hand, according to Isaiah, it's not shortened that it cannot save. His reach is far beyond the reach of a serpent. He reaches right into an audience like this, trying to convict men and women of their sin to save you. It's a Savior with a better reach. But the next thing I want you to notice about the better Savior, not just a better reason, not just a better reach, but let me tell you, it's a better rescue. I find it absolutely amazing when it comes to the serpent. It's just put on a pole. The job is given to all the people. You got to get out and look. The man on a stretcher, he's wheeled out of the tent. He's taken to the pole, and he said, look, man, look at the serpent. There he is on the pole. Take a look, man. But I want to tell you tonight, when it comes to this, it's a far better rescue. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come. He wasn't stationary. No, he came right into this world. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a better rescue. Not only better because of the search, but better because we're preaching a living Savior. The serpent was dead the day it was made. But when it comes to Christ, he's the one that says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. We're preaching a Savior that's living. A Savior that can actively and presently, eternally save you from your sins. We're preaching a Savior that's living. You know, when it comes to the serpent on a pole, it saved him from a bite, but they could get bitten again tomorrow. A couple days later, it could be something else. But I want to tell you, my friend, what we're preaching tonight is we are preaching eternal life. If you put your faith in the man of Calvary, the rescue that we are preaching is a rescue that'll give you eternal life. A better reason. A better reach, a better rescue, but of course a better rest. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you don't have rest. I can just imagine being a man bitten by the serpent lying in my tent. I make my way out and I look and I'm healed. I come back in the tent and I'm sleeping, but I'm uneasy. I'm not certain maybe the serpent will come back again. Maybe it will bite me again. You know the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. What does he say? Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there anyone here tonight and you'd like to have peace with God? You like to have rest for your soul? We are preaching a man, a Savior, with better rest. What's the final one, though? The final one is this. It's a better relationship. You see, when it comes to these men, and these women, and these boys, and these girls that were bitten by the serpent, they'd step outside their tent and they'd take a look at a serpent. They could go to the serpent and they could say, Mr. Serpent, thanks for what you've done. And the serpent wouldn't do a thing. There was no relationship. It was just a dead serpent. What we are preaching tonight is a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus. And if there's someone here tonight not saved, you have no relationship. You see, that's why the Bible says you're dead in sin. And I need to sit down. You're dead in sin because there's no relationship. What we are preaching tonight is that you can be saved from your sins. You can have a relationship with the God of heaven, but it's only through the person of the Lord Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus tonight. Look to the man that was lifted at Calvary, and you can have your sins forgiven.